Couple years ago, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, I took a project management training course. I drove down to Denver and hung out with a few people there, and we all learned about project management. It was about as dull and dry as it sounds, but in that course, the instructor gave us all some of the best, most practical advice that I've ever heard. And I'm going to share it with you. And actually, in retrospect, I've heard the same advice a lot throughout my life, and I know for a fact that you have too. However, when we apply this instruction in a general sense in our lives, it has the potential to make a massive impact. And the advice that I heard is this: pay attention. Pay attention. It's two words. Super simple. But this advice, if you apply it, it helps out in every corner of our lives. Paying attention can help out in our relationships. If we think and pay attention to how others are feeling, how others might respond to the way that we engage with them, if we pay attention to how we are acting in our relationships with others, will help us pick up on things that need to have a little bit greater care. Paying attention can help out with us being good stewards of our resources, our homes, our money. If we don't pay attention to how much money we have in the bank, if we don't pay attention to how much we're spending, we will wind up in a big bunch of trouble. If we don't pay attention to the state of our car, our house, or even the state of, I don't know, our clothing, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, if we don't pay attention to those things, they will deteriorate and fail us when we need them most. Paying attention can help us in maintaining our health. If we take consideration of what we put into our bodies, if we are thinking about the food we eat, if we are paying attention to the amount of water that we drink, if we pay attention to what we do physically, maintaining our physical strength, those things, if we pay attention to how much sleep we get, all of those things will help us improve our physical health. Paying attention can help us identify business opportunities. If we are watching and observing and picking up on things that nobody else sees, if we find those needs, it could turn out to be a profitable endeavor if we pay attention. And of course, why we're here today is that paying attention can help us grow spiritually. If we take consideration of our relationship with God, how much we rely on Him, as we heard in the earlier sermon today, if we pay attention to make sure that we are not getting ourselves into tenuous circumstances, exposing ourselves in ways that we shouldn't, giving ourselves over to sin. If we pay attention to those things, it can help us grow spiritually. Paying attention is really about being engaged in our lives. And when we are able to do it, we will be able to pick up on the things that we need to know if we are to adapt to changes in the world around us and generally improve. If we want to move ourselves forward, it starts with that observation, paying attention to what we should do. If you remember nothing else from what I will speak about today, I hope these two words that I've repeated numerous times already will help you as they have helped me. Pay attention. Now, since I started out this message about the importance of paying attention, I hope that you'll be compelled to listen to the rest of what I have to say today, because the Bible tells us that paying attention will give us the greatest possible benefits in our lives that we could possibly imagine. And of course, the corollary is that if we do not, there are dire consequences if we fail to pay attention. The Bible tells us to watch. But what exactly should we watch for? And why should we watch? The reason why we should watch is important to clearly define. If we do not understand why we are watching the things that we are supposed to be watching for, then we will simply fail to pay attention to those the right things. We will not pick up on the things that need our attention. My primary goal today is to help you and me clearly identify the reasons why it is important to watch the right things so that we do not become distracted, to watch those things that will help us with our spiritual development. That's what we'll talk about today. I will begin here in Luke 21 and verse 36, where Jesus Christ is giving us the instruction to watch. Please turn to Luke 21, verse 36 with me. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. If we consider the gravity of this statement, this is the scripture that should cause us to sit up and open our eyes. The admonition that we read here comes directly after the warnings that Jesus Christ has given us, expressed about the signs of the times, the things, the prophetic events that will come to shape that lead up to the time of his coming. The warning we hear about here is about being distracted by the cares of this life so that we lose sight of the things that really matter. Carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, those are the things that will pull our attention into the wrong corners, allowing us to be distracted to the things that truly matter. We read here that it is a snare to pay attention to those things, to watch those wrong things. It is a trap that we could fall into if we become distracted by worldliness. We are told to watch so that the day of Christ's return does not catch us off guard. That is ultimately the reason why we should all be watching. We want to be able to find safety physically, but more importantly, spiritually. We want to find spiritual safety. If we do not watch, we will not be able to stand before the Son of Man. Now, what is it about standing before Jesus Christ that is so important for us to pay attention to our spiritual development? Plain and simple, it is about overcoming sin. Our goal in life should be to overcome sin, to live in a way that pleases God more and more and more, to improve, to turn away from the worldliness that we read about in the first part of this scripture. We are to watch the events also in the world around us that Christ declares will come. But also, we are to take heed to our own lives so that our focus is clearly directed on the right things. Because if we don't, we will not be able to stand before Jesus Christ. We will have failed our admonition to overcome the world, to develop the fruit of the Spirit. Please turn with me to Galatians 5, and I'll read, beginning in verse 16, read through 23. We read more about the things that we should be watching here from Paul. Galatians 5 and verse 16. I say then, Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, more accurately stating the penalty of the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Paul reiterates the warning, telling us beforehand. It's kind of like hearing an I told you so before it's actually happened. But he tells us here that there are consequences of losing out on eternal life and the inheritance of the kingdom of God if we don't pay attention to the right things, if we aren't watching the development, taking care to develop the fruit of the Spirit, that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, those are the good things that we should be investing in. It is the other set of fleshly lusts that will pull us away, that will draw our attention to the wrong things. We need to take care to watch the right things in our lives. Paul tells us to watch out so that we don't fall prey to the works of the flesh, but rather to walk in the Spirit, to develop those fruits. The reason that we are to watch our own behavior is so that we are developing and growing spiritually. Going over to Acts 20, verses 28 through 31, we read about another place to pay attention, another place to watch. Acts 20 and verses 28 through 31. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, and draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. And remember, for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul admonishes us to watch out for deceit. It will be super sneaky. It comes in and it has taken many people away. He tells us to watch. He knew that there would be victims, which we can surmise was the reason that he warned so many with tears. He knew that many would be caught off guard and not have the ability to watch fully and completely. There are those who will draw people away with teachings that are not biblically sound. We need to pay attention to what we listen to. We need to pay attention to what we are filling our heads with, what we watch, what we hear, what we read, so that we are not pulled away from the truth. It's critical that we watch those things. We need to be on guard. As we heard earlier, putting on that armor so that we are able to withstand anything that Satan may throw at us. So we have an instruction to watch our own growth so that we live a life that is pleasing to God, and so that we might be counted worthy to be saved from the destruction that is coming upon this earth shortly, and so that we can inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ tells us to watch for the development of prophetic events as well. So I'll focus a little bit on those prophetic events. Let's turn over to Mark 13, and I'll begin in verse 14, reading through verse 23. Mark 13, beginning in verse 14. So, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter. For in those days there will be tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed, I have told you all things beforehand. Christ here gives us a warning to watch the circumstances of prophetic development. He has given us all of the important things to watch for. And why? Why is he telling us these things? What benefit do we have if we see these events taking place on the horizon? The reason is that it will help us to not be deceived and fall away from God. Satan is trying to deceive us. He is trying to catch us so off guard that we have forgotten to develop spiritually, so that we've forgotten to overcome sin. Our focus must be on overcoming sin, overcoming the world, resisting temptation, not falling prey to these deceitful things that will come about. Now, what precedes this scripture in Mark 13 is a set of declarations from Jesus Christ about what to watch for in more specific terms as the signs of the times develop. I'm not going to read that scripture, that set of scriptures, but we know that what will happen as prophetic events develop include persecution, famine, war, natural disasters, hatred. Those things are going to come about. That is what we are watching for. So much of the update and the standing watch and the material that we present is to help everybody, help the audience, help the world, in fact, understand that the return of Christ is near. We are seeing things develop. Now, other places in the Bible that we are familiar with will elaborate even more on the prophetic developments. That's, you might consider Matthew 24, and reviewing Luke 21 for a further set of scriptures to talk about the signs of the times. Jesus announced the importance of watching for the development of these events. Why? The whole reason why, as he describes it, is so that the day of his return does not sneak up on us unexpectedly. He wants us to be ready for his return. What does it mean to be ready for Christ's return? As we read earlier, when Christ returns, we need to be ready to stand before him with a straight face, saying that we've done our best to overcome. That's why we need to watch. That's why we need to be ready, because it is our job right now to develop our spiritual fruits. Let me continue. We'll go back into Mark 13, scanning down a little bit, Mark 13, verse 32 through verse 37. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, not even Jesus Christ knew, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. We read here that we are not to fall asleep. Now, what is the problem with us sleeping? Well, when we are spiritually asleep, we are not paying attention to develop the fruit of the Spirit like we should be. When we sleep, we are bogged down with the cares of this world. When we sleep, we are in danger of losing out on salvation and the gift that has been promised to us. It is impossible to know the day and hour of Christ's return. It is true. Not even Jesus Christ knows. And those who put their effort into trying to figure out that exact point in time when Jesus Christ returns, they'll be misguided. What would they do with that information anyway, if they were right? Well, the whole point, as I mentioned earlier, of knowing that the time is near is so that we have a sense of urgency to do something in our lives, to overcome. It takes a lifetime to overcome. It takes time and effort to acknowledge sin, to understand it, to live with it, and move past it. If we are failing and neglect to pay attention to overcoming sin right now, we're going to have a lot of work to do in a short period of time when Jesus Christ does return. The time is short. It is urgent that we put our time and effort into it now. The question that we should ask ourselves is not, when will Christ return, but rather, why is it important to know that the time of his return is near? We have to focus on our spiritual development to make sure that we are right with God before we have to stand before Jesus Christ and give an answer to our behaviors. Therefore, the decisions that we make and the actions that we take with the information that the return of Christ is near must focus on our spiritual development. That is why we need to watch. Let's go over to Matthew 24, and I'll read verses 42 through 51. Matthew 24, verse 42. Another admonition from Christ. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we conclude in our lives that life is good, we've got nothing to worry about, The return of Christ is far off in the distance enough so that we don't have to worry about putting some work into our lives right now. If we think that we have plenty of time to indulge in worldliness, that we don't have to really put effort into our lives. If we think that we don't have to pay attention to overcoming sin and identifying it, really rooting it out, really growing. If we think that we don't have to get uncomfortable in seeing how we are doing things wrong and what we need to do things right. If we fail to grow, we're in trouble. We have to be doing that right now. We do not want to be one of those who thinks that the return of Christ is so far off that we don't have to do anything now, that we have plenty of time. It will catch us off guard. Not only will it catch us off guard, it will catch us off guard with no time to do anything about it. I'd like to read Matthew 25 and verses 1 through 13. This is about the 10 virgins. This comes, of course, at the tail of Jesus Christ's warnings to us about the signs of the times and about the admonition to watch. Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." This passage is consistent with the passage that we read in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, we read that no one knows what day and hour the Lord is coming. We read that he is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Here we read that all the virgins slept. Nobody was able to pinpoint that moment that he was coming, that exact moment. They were all caught asleep here. Now, I can't give you a perfect interpretation about what it means that all were sleeping, but generally we can conclude that they were not watching everything. They were all surprised at the arrival of the bridegroom. Perhaps this is a reinforcement of Jesus Christ's statement that no one knows the hour of his return. But it was the virgins who did not save enough oil, who did not have enough oil, who were turned away. Oil, as we understand, is symbolic of the Spirit. And we can surmise that those who were turned away were not paying attention to their spiritual development. They had no oil in their lamps. They were not investing in their spiritual growth. They were not ready to stand before the Son of Man. They were not ready to go in to the bridegroom to meet Christ because they had not put enough work into it. They had not prepared. But those, even though they slept, those who were prepared were able to do so. They were the ones who were developing spiritually. And even though they didn't know exactly the moment that the bridegroom would come, they were honored in their efforts and spiritual development. they were the ones who were able to go into the bridegroom. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and read verses 1 through 6. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the light nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. The day will come as a thief. It will sneak up unexpectedly on the world. The ones who are in danger are the ones who don't pay attention to the signs of the times and who are caught off guard, not working to please God. But even more, those who live in darkness, reveling ignorantly in the way of sin, not even knowing the danger that they're in, they will be not only caught off guard, but overtaken. Watching for the signs of the times and not giving credence to the lies espoused to them is the instruction we are given. We are supposed to, as we know that living in this world, we will be pummeled with deceit. Satan is pummeling us. It is a battle we are in, and we cannot fall victim. We need to rely on God, as we heard earlier, so that we are not overcome, so that we are not drawn away by the deceit of this world, by the temptations that Satan presents to us. We do not want to be counted among those who don't want to watch. We must pay attention to our observance of the truth and how we apply it in our lives so that we can grow. Let's go over to Ezekiel. I haven't gone into the Old Testament here yet today, and we will. Ezekiel 13, and I'd like to read verses 8 through 12. We read about those who were crying peace and safety, and that's what this scripture goes into a little bit more. Ezekiel 13, verses 8 through 12. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And when one builds a wall and they plaster it with untempered mortar, say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it down. Surely, when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, where's the mortar with which you plastered it? The false prophets, and generally those who distract people from the truth, because those false prophets are bringing forth those words that people want to hear, because that is the only kind of message that people are receptive to. That is the only kind of message that the world around us is will hear. And these false prophets, these are the enemies of God because they are not telling the truth. They are not giving information that is useful. It is drawing people away instead of drawing people closer to God. These false prophets are the ones who put people in danger. But the people listening to the messages of the false prophets aren't completely innocent either. Let's go back to Isaiah 30 and we'll read verse 8 through 13. Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 8. Now go, write it before them on a tablet, on a note, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who do not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. Most of the world does not want to hear the truth. Otherwise, they'd be listening in today. Most of the world does not want to pay attention to those things that are uncomfortable to hear. They don't want to hear that sin is in their lives. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear things like, whatever you do is okay. You don't have to worry about sin. It doesn't exist. You can do whatever you want. That's what people want to hear. People don't want to hear that they have to change. People don't want to hear that what they are doing is wrong. But the fact is that those who feel that way are asleep. Those are the ones who are not paying attention to spiritual growth. Those are the ones who will not be able to stand before Jesus Christ when he returns and give an answer for their lives. Now, the work of the church goes far beyond what I've been talking about so far, which is individual growth, focus on ourselves. As individuals, we are to watch that we ourselves are able to overcome sin, to produce the fruit of the Spirit, and inherit the kingdom of God. That is definitely a responsibility of ourselves. But the church, through the voice of the ministry, has a responsibility to speak out about those things that we observe. We are to watch. We cannot keep it secret. That's why we put our material online. That's why we produce the Standing Watch program. And that's why we write the editorials and the Q&As, all of this work. We are not hiding. It is a responsibility of the church to share the observations, share what we are observing. Let's go to Isaiah 58, and I'll read verse 1. Familiar scripture to us, Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. The message that is to be presented, as it's mentioned here, this is an instruction to Isaiah, is to cry out, speak up about the wrong ways in people's life, to speak up about sin, to let the people know that the direction they are going is wrong. Now, when we point out the problems and the way of sin in the world, it is for a purpose. It is to wake people up. People are sleeping. We cannot be counted among those who are sleeping. The church's job is to offer a warning, to lift up and to not spare the hard, uncomfortable message because people don't want to hear it. And there's a reason for that. Let's go to Ezekiel 3. I'd like to read verses 17 through 21. There's accountability. The church has a commission not only to preach, not only to feed the flock, which is what we are doing here as members of the church, to you listening in today, but also to preach the gospel, to let the world know about, that there is a better way. Ezekiel 3 and verses 17 through 21. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear word from my mouth and give them a warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give them no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die. Because you did not give him a warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, as he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. Ezekiel was given a job to warn the house of Israel. He was a watchman. He was to warn people about the consequences of their sin. Not only that, but he was to encourage people to continue in doing what was right so that they would not turn to sin. If we as a church do not share these warnings, if we do not share the imminent danger with you, with those who have an ear to hear, then it is a failure of the church to pronounce what we are observing. This is why the voice of our church goes out to the world. We don't just want to save ourselves. We have something to share. There's hope. That is what we want the world to know. Sadly, not many are able to hear. And of course, we know that not many are called in this day and age. But our hope is that those who are being called will be receptive to these messages, that there is a better way of life. That is why we raise our voice to share what we observe. An argument could be made that the whole point of the Bible is to give us enough information to watch the things that we need to pay attention to so that we can understand and participate in the plan of God. From what we learned today, we understand that we have a lot to watch for. And we have a lot that we need to not pay attention to not become distracted by. Not only have we observed or learned today what to watch, but we also know why it is important to watch. We are told to watch the development of prophetic events so that we are not caught off guard, being lazy about developing our spiritual fruits. We are to watch out for deception, both from the outside in the world, but also from within, from ourselves. We don't want to fall prey to self-deception. We must pay attention to our own spiritual development so that when the day and hour of Christ's return happens, that we are ready. Ready to let go of any physical concerns, any worldliness that may have a hook into us. Ready, above all, to stand before Jesus Christ in judgment, knowing that we have done our best.